Good evening, everyone, and welcome back. Finally, apologies for the delay to this, the 16th episode of Blood on the Thames, a Vampire the Masquerade Chronicle set in London, England. With me tonight,
Carlos playing Moses of Clan Nosferatu.
Peter playing Benjamin of Clan Malkavian.
Rachel playing Katia of Clan Tremere.
Philip playing Jim Roy Woods of Clan Gangrel.
Okay, well, we will leap straight into any announcements that we have.
So the main announcement to say is a big, big thank you to Luthient, who has become a subscriber to the channel. And on the topic of subscriptions, we do have a special announcement from Plucky Jake.
Right. Because you assholes are making me do this. If you are a subscriber to Twitch, and yes, I fucking know about Twitch. If you are a subscriber to Twitch, we've got a brand new emote featuring yours truly with the face palm, which these fuckers keep making me do. So, go nuts. In fact, litter the chat with them. It makes it look better.
Oh, God. Oh, God, there it is.
Oh, shit.
Okay, so let's jump straight back in. It's been a while, guys. Apologies again about that. But we'll jump straight back into an episode 15 recap, and then we'll get things going for episode 16.
All right. So the coterie has gone to visit the constable at the St. Mary Labeau Church.
Yeah, Moses delivers a report that he had been preparing for her regarding the Sabbat issue, and then he has somewhat of a religious experience with Constable Jacqueline, in which he ends up being branded / burned / hurt.
So while that is, after that's happened, Benjamin goes to see Edmund to deliver the picture of the Sabbat that has been taken. There are a number of kind of problems that he encounters along the way, not least of which is the artist that he thought he got rid of has now been taken under Edmund's wing, and she is there enjoying his time, which sours the mood considerably.
Meanwhile, the rest of the coterie go to hunt. Jim manages to have a successful feed, but Moses becomes entirely ravenous and, with no willpower left, proceeds to drain a poor young lady dry.
When we get back, Katia effectively roasts Jim for his misdemeanors, and Jim tries not to kill her, and he doesn't, so you could say in the end it was a successful evening for Jim.
Not so much so for Moses. He ends up in Alice's house. She's being beaten and bruised by Deacon Rhodes. He stays the night with her after having a chat with her, and he feels remorse for the death of that human he drained, Catherine. And he cries himself to sleep.
So, on that sad note is where we left it. And is where we'll come back into it. With everybody having fallen asleep in their respective safe havens, some in sharing their havens with others, you all begin to reanimate on the evening of Saturday the 9th June, 2001. First of all, your sense of taste returns, and then your sense of hearing, and then slowly your limbs begin to animate, and then your eyes open, or rather just begin seeing and animating and noticing these items around you that are familiar and safe and remind you where you are. Less so with Moses. Although you feel safe, there's a moment of paranoia when you glance around you and you don't recognize where you are, and then it slowly returns to you where you are, why you're there, and as those details begin ticking in, there's the tightening of the guts as you recall the moment in the park. But you can hear movement off to your side, and Alice is sat up. She's sat by the window, which is no longer coated in these heavy drapes. She's pulled them aside and tied them, and rather she's staring out as though she's watching and surveying. You can see now, again, silhouetted against the window, that she is still battered and broken and bruised, although her arm is no longer twisted at an odd angle. She has fixed it, but she is otherwise very much alive, alert, alive. and she glances back around you when she hears the creak of the sofa that you're lying on. And she just glances at you. She says nothing.
Morning. Evening. The dryad, like, probably have, like, dry blood.
Yeah, there's red streaks from the previous night, and there's streaks all over the sofa, but then again, it's still coated from whatever splatterings of blood she had from the previous night. Can't tell whether or not it's hers or not, but she's, yeah. It's none worse for wear for the trickling of blood from your tears. She considers you for a while, and then gets up and moves over towards you, and then chucks you her helmet for the bike.
Okay.
Where are you parked?
Downstairs.
Right. Do you have anything important to do now, or are you free?
I'm free. I would like to, like, clean this up a little bit.
And you realise then it's the first time you've properly shown it. You might have shown it in passing, but it's the first time she actually sees it. And the moment she does, her expression kind of twists in realisation of just how fucking bad the mark is. It's not just an indent.
It's a mark. It's a proper.
If you had fourth-degree burns, this would be one of them.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just not only that, but around. Where the route
from when the chain had gone around. And she grows over, grabs you by the forearm and just pulls it in and just starts looking at it. And then she glances up at you again and then just slowly releases it. Okay.
Show her my rosary. Like with the cross and everything.
What the fuck, Moses?
You're not gonna believe this.
What?
I was holding my rosary in church with Constable Jacqueline. When I was giving her the report of the Sabbat,
she held in a church?
Well, yeah, no one goes
that to bitch can step in a church.
I can step in a church.
No, I'm being sarcastic, Moses. Go on. No.
She held my hand and
did that.
Yeah.
Just.
And it didn't look like any booga booga that the tree mirrored would do. I'm telling you, she is. Don't laugh at me. But she's like holy, like saintly. Even though she's like a cold, like I've seen her kill. And she's like super cold and detached. But she has this faith, this devotion. It goes beyond what I've seen.
What, because she burnt that into your palm?
No. I got that impression way before that. Like, the way she prays. I mean, I've only seen my mother pray like that a couple of times. Like, it had meaning to her. Like, it had purpose, a drive. It's surreal. And I start looking around her place for like in her, like gloves or mittens or something.
Gloves. They're not going to fit you. She is a much smaller individual than you.
If I find one, it'll fit. I'll wear it.
Force it on. It's not going to be wearable again, but
break
you can make
fingers,
it. You can put it on.
Yeah, it's okay, cool.
Yeah, you managed to put on a biking glove that she has. Yeah, kind of like that, but when you're done with it, the fingers, you know.
Yeah. Tethered.
Better.
Right. Okay, so you wanted to see Deacon.
Yes, I think I need to tell him about what we were doing. Well, not what we're doing, what we saw.
Are you sure? Because last I recall, you didn't leave on the best of terms with Deacon.
Last time...
You, as the group.
Oh, yeah. This is... I want nothing in return, like, literally. When I was in the States, remember when Josiah, when Sebastian took us to San Francisco?
Yeah.
Because he had to sort some issue with the prince or whatever. The rumors the Nosferatu were telling about stories with other Sabbat, when they come in, if you're not Sabbat... dread the enemy. They won't care if Deacon is Camarilla or Anarch. I mean, trust me on this one. Like, the rumors on, like, Daedalus and the other Nosferatu there, they were safe because no Sabbat was coming their way. But they knew of other cities that were contested. So, if the guys who killed Foggy are actually Sabbat, I want you hang around with them. I want you to be safe, but I also want them to be on the lookout because it's gonna get nasty. And I, again, don't laugh. I feel like I owe it to Tyler.
You do fucking owe it to Tyler. All of you do.
Well, you know that I tried my best.
If you want to go to him, I can take him. I can take you. But I can't promise he's going to listen to what you got to say.
I'm just going to say it. Whether he believes me or not, it's his business. I just don't want to be seen. I don't want word of this reaching Plucky Jakes here.
Okay, why?
Because I already talked to him and he told me to tell the constable. And that's it. You're not supposed to know. But I think he figures.
Okay, well, I mean,
I assume he doesn't want any, like, widespread panic or chaos.
There's value in information. That's probably more what he's looking at. I mean, if you tell Deacon, Deacon's going to tell the Anarchs. He's not going to keep it quiet, not if he believes you.
Well, the only thing I know for a fact, because I heard Plucky say it, that this is the kind of information you don't try to leverage.
No, it's not.
On.
Okay, right. Well,
do you think I could persuade him to, instead of going to the Anarchs in full, just for him to tell a group of Anarchs that can go and check? It's better instead of having everybody riled up.
I've stopped speaking for Deacon now. I mean, you can ask him. That's about the best I can say. You can ask Moses.
I will.
He'll either do it or he won't. She pulls open the door.
Yeah, let's go.
And walks out after you, and you just sit there as the door shuts behind you. Meanwhile, back at the crosstown, 3 vampires are slowly waking up. First one, then the other two. Slowly, what are you doing?
Making a rouse check?
Rouse check.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Let's find out what kind of evening this is going to be. Yay! Good one!
Hungry Sumo!
No? Nope, final 3.
Ooh! Hungry Sumo! Look how pretty it looks.
Yeah, so it goes 0, 1. Oh, you saw the count.
Broken.
Would you rather the other way around?
No.
No.
No, it's all good.
Let's see how long can I keep this Hunger Zero stuff.
Okay, so as you begin waking, there is movement downstairs that you two can hear. The movement of the few people that do stay at the crosstowns, which is substantially more than when you originally moved here and took over. Moving about, coming in and out. Mrs. Morovsky down there speaking to them as they go out. You can hear her voice distinct over the others. What do you want to do?
Jim's going to move towards Benjamin.
To Benjamin, okay.
Hello? You
ready, Ben?
Oh, yes, I just need to grab one thing and then I will be, I'll be there.
Hi.
So, I'm going to be thinking about getting a copy of the photo because I don't want to go direct to deliver it.
Okay.
And the other thing is I will pack a few things, you know, just thinking about the evening ahead.
Okay.
Not really thinking about it, but kind of mulling a little bit. I'll probably be a bit longer than Jim wants me to be. Because I'm not, I'm kind of mulling over last night, but then I'll come out. Oh, now I say I'm ready, but I don't actually know what we're doing. Do I need anything specific for this?
You won't need anything specific.
And it's completely not dangerous. We did establish that, didn't we?
Well, as long as there's no one hunting us, we should be fine.
Right, good. Okay, then I'm all yours. What are we doing?
Your car first.
Oh, right. So, go down to the car, I guess.
Okay. And Cassie? You can hear the voices from down the hall from where...
Cassie's probably going to go catch up with them, because I don't think you've actually mentioned this to her at all.
So you can hear the voices, yeah, you can hear the knock. You can certainly hear...
You can hear that they're gearing up for something, so yeah. She's going to tromp downstairs.
Okay.
You two heading out?
Yeah. Apparently, yes. I don't really know why, but I understand it's important in
Has
some way.
Has there been another problem?
Only the ongoing little one, which... another ongoing little one, which... I think to get this more into the Benjamin understands this one, I need to show him this.
Right, do you want me to come with you?
If you would like to come along.
I don't have any other appointments today, so I suppose I might as well.
Right, we'll go to the car then, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
Okay. To make your way down to your car, it's exactly where you left it and how you left it. Although you do check and note that the wind mirror is still facing away.
I think I'll leave it there.
Okay. So you do your checks, you stop yourself from checking your rear view mirror, and then you slowly pull out. Whereabouts are you headed?
Yeah, I'm going to give them the directions to the same graveyard where I've seen Sarah go.
Okay. It's not a very long drive, particularly because the traffic's not terrible. This hour, almost oddly so, there's not that many cars out. And as you make your way towards the graveyard, there's not much chatter going on in the rear of the vehicle, especially after the conversations from the previous night. But before too long, you're pulling up alongside the graveyard where Jim is directing you to, and by all accounts, it looks pretty nice, pretty quiet. Not in a kind of, okay, it's spooky, it's dark kind of way, but it's nice at a distance. And he's quite pointedly looking over at it, which is indicating this is exactly where he wants you to go.
I think, Jim, have I done something to offend you?
Not at this moment.
Right, I just can't help but notice that we seem to be going to a graveyard.
Don't worry, I'm not in any danger.
All right. So I'll find a place to park.
Okay, there's plenty of spaces.
Yeah.
And as you climb out in the car, you do a quick look around. Have you got heightened senses, or have you left them down?
Depends how busy or... If it's noisy,
it's pretty quiet.
Then probably quiet. Yes. I think he probably has fallen into that default lately.
Okay. You're listening in, and there isn't any distinct sounds. There isn't anyone moving in. You can hear the odd chirp of a late bird now and again, further in, nestled on one of the bushes or on the trees, but otherwise it is very, it's almost brittle, the air, but in a way which, for guys, for people that don't, you know, breathe or feel the cold that much, it's actually quite, you know, pleasant. But there is nobody moving in. You can't hear any footsteps, you can't hear any breathing.
Well, it seems quiet.
Go ahead, have a look. You'll know when you see it.
Alright. So I'll start going into the graveyard. Are you staying with Jim or are you coming with me?
I'll probably just kind of stay on the outskirts. I know what this is.
Okay. So I'll go into this graveyard. You said there was no people, so I'll just have a little look around, see what I can see.
I'll be shadowing behind him.
I'm generally concerned that I'm going to come across some horrifically mutilated body or something, right? That's my primary fear.
It says a lot about your coterie that that's where your mind first
goes. Yeah. So I'm stealing myself for that, I think.
So you go wandering up between these aisles of cold stone, and they're in pretty good condition as you go along. You see various names from various dates, different causes of death, husband, wife, children, and then after a moment you kind of glance over towards one of the newer stones and then do a double take, and then you realise etched upon the stone is
Jim Roy Woods, 1976 to 1997. May this guardian rest in peace.
Oh, I'll turn back, because you said you're kind of with me, are you?
I'm a little bit behind you.
Okay. So I'll take that in, and then I'll trot back to where that
is. As he's pausing about that, I'm walking up behind.
Oh, okay, yeah. Goodness. This is the sort of thing you normally see in films, isn't it?
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Well, yes, quite. That's sort of that's what came to mind. I don't know what one says in these circumstances.
I kneel in front of the gravestone, bow my head.
I'll look at Katia now. This is very strange.
Just gym things.
This is why I introduced myself to Miss Morovsky as Roy Andrews. To the kind, Jim is dead.
I see. So this is to remind me to not use the wrong name in front of Mrs. Morovsky.
It's also a little, thing is going to come out now. Anyway, question you asked me last night as to who is Sarah.
Oh, yes.
She's my sister.
Oh.
She knows this. I'd rather it than have them kept between myself and Katia, but... And the reasons that I ensured this grave was here, to try to help protect her.
I see. Yes. Well, I can understand you wanting to protect your sister, of course.
In time, you want to do something like this as well.
Oh.
Unless, of course, you actually do die, in which case it'll be done for you, and then you won't have to live on.
I would suggest that's actually quite a poor idea in Benjamin's case. You have to work very hard to keep up the illusion, and the thing about death is that, people will go to great lengths to disprove it, rather than simply being out of town or away for some period.
But this isn't something I need to worry about for quite a long time, is it, really?
No, but it is something you can start potentially thinking on. You have more time than I had.
Well, that's reassuring. So was this... I imagine this was a very complicated thing to organise.
Yes.
Because obviously you can't really be present for any of it. And, but I suppose, I don't want to be callous, but, I'm sure Edmund would help when the time came with that sort of organising side of things.
Totally.
So how long, roughly speaking, do I have before I have to, and I'll gesture to the gravestone.
You're more of a middle age, so you have...
Depends how much your family give a shit, really.
That is true.
Well, they are quite concerned, most of them anyway. I think, the thing is I've probably got 30, 40, 50 years, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but you're still going to look like you.
Oh.
Exactly.
Oh, yes. So probably less. Probably more like 5.
Yeah, probably.
5 or 10.
I don't know.
Five.
Does he have any grey hairs like now? Like, had he started to grey when he was 10?
He's probably got a grey hair or two, I would think.
There's a few.
10 is optimistic.
All right, so 5. 5. That's fine. I'll worry about that. Let's have a good 6 months to a year without worrying about this. We've got lots of other things to worry about. But thank you. I like to be prepared. I'd appreciate you giving me notice with this, Jim. Because I don't like rushing into things. And this seems like something that one has to think about.
It would have been easier if I had more time.
Well, the other thing is you don't have major works in galleries.
Yes, you see, this is another thing.
It's a bit... I know that the value of paintings goes up when the artist dies, but I think that's pushing it a bit.
Yes, I imagine that Evan will want me to be alive to produce work for some time to come.
Does he?
I'll stare off into the darkness.
Even as you think that, all you can think of is that retreating car. The silhouette of Edmund. Torturously close to someone that's not you.
I'm sure you have other questions. Maybe both of you. If you have them, ask them now. This is one place where I will not lie.
What are we going to do now?
Sorry, what?
This is one place where you're not live, Ben. If you have any questions, ask them.
Oh, right. Oh, goodness. That's quite a big thing to ask someone. You said you had to protect your sister, and that she apparently is around somewhere? What sort of danger is she in? I mean, is this something which we need to all worry about or help you with?
She seems to have found me.
I mean, that rather make... I mean, this is very... I'll point at the gravestone again. If she's found you, then this must not have worked somewhere. She must have realised.
I'm aware of that.
Well, so is the threat simply that you don't want her to learn what's happened to you? Or is there anything else? She's not in other danger, is she? Or there aren't other
things? As long
things?
As she's searching, she risks the masquerade. As long as there's the masquerade, she's in danger.
You know who else is doing that right now? We're speaking very loudly in a public place.
There's no one around. No, I'm quite confident there is no one here but us.
Mm.
There's a bird. Oh, no, it's gone.
I'm just going to, look around, a bit suspicious. I do not like talking about this stuff in public.
But you're quite right. We should be more careful. Or the prince will have us destroyed, and that would be terrible. So, yes, did you... Oh, should we go back to the car?
That's probably a good
idea.
Let's
go back to the car. Right, we'll go back to the car. I'll turn off heightened senses.
Okay. Metaphorically, with just one hand on the gravestone.
So as you're pressing your hand against the stone, it feels, cool to the touch as you'd expect it to. And you glance down and there is a single flower that is there, but it looks like it's had the petals pulled off. And it's just lying on its own there. And there's other flowers there that are wilted and that have been there for a while and they've not been removed.
Yeah, just flower there, nothing else?
Nothing else.
Trace the Jay. Sorry, Jim. Time to walk away.
She returns to the car. There is no one else around. It's still quiet. By comparison to the average London street, it's very quiet. Most of the cars are going away or alongside where the park is. None are coming up and down the street where you are. You've just got your single, solitary car there lining this street.
So, do you want me to take you back to the Cross Hands at this point? Or is there something else that we need to do?
Nothing else more at the moment.
I mean, there is one more matter we need to deal with at some point.
What's that?
The fact that there is somebody feeding in our domain that we have not granted.
Oh, yes. I remember you saying about that. Yes,
I know it's not necessarily as high on the priority list as some other things that have been happening right now, but I think in terms of what else we have learned recently, it's more of a waiting game to find out what it is we have to do next.
I mean, isn't this the sort of thing that Moses is good at? Because he has all those cameras and things. We should talk to him about this.
Yes, we should probably wait till he gets back.
Bzzzt.
To whom?
Your pocket vibrates. It is a message from Sabine. Simply saying call when you are free.
Okay. Well, if there's nothing else, we might as well head back. I've got to take a call.
All right. So I'll start driving them back to the...
I will wait till we're back at the Cross Hands to call, just in case it's something that discuss in private.
Okay. It doesn't take you too long to return. There's a bit more traffic now going between you and the Cross Hands, but not enough to slow your journey back. And then you all begin climbing out of the car one by one. And you step inside, or...?
Yeah, I will head up to my room.
Okay. Doesn't take you too long.
Sorry, as she's leaving, I was there is something a little bit later at some point I'd like to talk
about. Oh, of course, I won't be too long.
Okay. Doesn't take you too long to get her on the other side. It rings and buzzes a couple of times, and then there's the picking up of the phone and what sounds like someone pressing something with a couple of buttons without meaning to, and then... Hello?
Hello, it's Katia.
Hi, Katia, darling. How are you?
I'm doing all right, thank you. Yourself?
Ah, can't complain. In fact, I've had some rather interesting news come up. When are you free, darling?
This evening. I'm relatively relatively
in the imminent future.
Yes, yes, if need be.
Excellent. I'm out for a stroll, close to where we like to meet with our mutual acquaintances. If you happen to be in the area, I wouldn't mind having a bit of a discussion.
Of course. Should I come join you?
Yes, 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 of course. I'll be there. A bit early to take in a show, but I'll be there.
Of course, of course. I'll come and join you presently.
Okay, darling. See you imminently.
See you soon.
And I've got the phone.
Unexpected. She'll make sure she's presentable, maybe just smarten up a tiny bit, and we'll down the attic steps, knock on Benjamin's door.
So just to say, when Katia goes, I would say something very quickly to Jim, which is just say, I'm not very good at this sort of thing, but I do know how important it is to protect family. So if you do need any help with, you know, that business, then, you know, do come and say.
Well, we are the same country, so it's the same with your Kelly.
Yes, yes, although she's fine. Everything's fine there. I think it's fine. Good, right. Well, good luck, and I'll see you a bit later. So I'll go back to my room at that point.
You've not gone into your room for too much longer before you hear the footsteps approaching your door and the...
Oh, yeah, yes, come in.
Oh, it's only me, sorry. I'm really sorry. I've been called away, just hopefully not for very long. My family needs to have a quick chat.
All right, of course. Well, I'm probably going to pop out anyway, if you're going out. Maybe we could catch up later.
Yes, I'll come. I'll be home probably... Well, depending on what happens, I would like to come back here. If anything else happens, I'll let you know.
Is Moses all right?
I feel like Moses is the kind to let us know if something was going down one way or another. He's quite good like that.
All right.
I don't think there's any reason to panic for a few hours.
Well, I wasn't panicking. Should I be panicking? I wasn't. Was there something happened?
No, nothing's happened.
All right, good. It's fine. Good.
See you later.
Bye.
You step downstairs. Mrs. Morovsky gives you a nod and an approving look towards the change in outfit. Meanwhile, where are you headed?
Jim's going to go knock on Moses' door.
Okay.
Musical doors.
Sorry, Moses, but I need to know. I'm going to pick the lock.
Okay. Make a dexterity plus larceny check, please.
That's two successes.
Two successes. You glance back towards where Mrs. Morovsky is and begin applying the lockpicks, and you fight to try and find the catch, but it's not going.
Three.
You can succeed at a cost.
You break the trip lock. Lines.
You can force it, but you will leave traces that you've been in there.
You'll break it.
Okay, so you begin applying these fine tools into this small lock, listening for the click, and then that impatience begins to grow until finally you just give it a slight smack and the actual picks just bolt in and find the catch, but in such a way where you feel part of your lockpick break off, and the door just leaving you with half a lockpick, but an open doorway.
I feel less bad for the whole smiling man deal now.
So you begin descending down into Moses' basement, and it seems even more devoid of life than it normally is. I mean, when Moses is there, there's a lot of animation there. When Moses is there, either the screens are flickering, you know, Moses himself is quite animate, or, you know, previously there'd be fogging. But now there is nothing. There is no sounds, there is no movement. What are you doing?
Jim's gonna try to carefully, because he does not want to buck up Moses' shit here. All right, with the lock, not with Moses here. He wants to try and pull up the footage of the lobby in the past few days.
Okay. So we'll say this is intelligence plus technology. I heard that sigh.
I I will I'll rouse the blood for additional time.
Okay. Wow, those days are great when you can afford to rouse the blood, aren't they?
That's a failure.
You don't have hunger dice in this roll, though, just for the next one.
Yeah, it's worth noting that your hunger roll happens after the initial check.
What about that?
Okay. So you're on three, yeah?
So that's two successes.
Guess what's happening in the chat?
That's such a beautiful, perfect use of that emoji.
Okay. This is something that is communally set up and is there for the communal benefit of the coterie. It's not as well locked up as Moses would normally use most of his tech. And it's easy enough for you to get to the basic cameras, probably not any other cameras that Moses has set up, but the basic ones, the kind of ones that you need easy access to just to survey the immediate scenario, the immediate surroundings. They are currently running live. They're all still workable. They're still showing images of people moving back and forth on the streets outside, the cars zooming past, and the one that showed Mrs. Morovsky previously that you all inspected, she's still just sat there with the newspaper. It looks up every now and again when she can hear movement from above from any of the people that are she's assuming is probably Benjamin. That's probably not. Could be someone else. You never know. What do you want
to
do?
I'm going to go through the logs of the lobby to see who's been in and out since we went to the tunnels.
Okay. So, are you going to try and do this quickly, or are you just going to take your time with it?
Yeah, he's going to take his time.
Okay. It is a long and slow process going through each bit of footage, and there's only so long you can stare at this one room before it gets exceptionally dull. The only person that seems to be moving in there and seems to be there at all is Mrs. Morovsky. And as funny as it is to watch her suddenly become very, very animate, you speed through this footage.
There are, and backwards, you know?
Yeah. As you go back and forth through this image. There are times where you have to kind of remind yourself just to keep watching and just keep going. You're not technically apt like Moses. You can't just sit there and just fly through it. But after a good 20, 30 minutes of just staring at the screen, finally you can see Mrs. Morovsky kind of get up and move behind the counter. And the moment she stands there and begins speaking, you slow it and stop. And then just start playing it again. And you can see what looks to be a female figure approaching the desk, has a hood up, and just speaks to Mrs. Morovsky. Obviously, there's no sound, you can't pick up what's being said, but Mrs. Morovsky just starts speaking. And then she starts smiling, and then she starts gesturing up the stairs. And then the head turns slightly to the side and looks up, and then nods, and then turns, and then backs out towards the door, out of shot, and then steps out.
And so how many days was this ago?
How many days?
Yeah.
About 4 or 5.
So about the time we were in the tunnels. I'm going to continue going through the footage, seeing if I can see if anyone else has popped up.
Okay. This one will be an intelligence plus investigation.
My poor computer.
Oh, you just wait if he gets the beastie.
It's just
that's what I'm afraid that's gonna happen.
He's not the only one. That's two successes.
Okay.
Good thing.
Fuck's sake, yeah.
You begin racing back and forth through the footage. Now that you've caught a glimpse of someone that potentially could be it, you watch as Mr. Pomorowski speaks. Primarily, you see members of the coterie, yourself included, moving back and forth through these images. There are a few individuals that you know are the ones that currently reside in the hotel. You don't see anyone that looks similar to the individual in the hoodie. And it takes you a few moments of going back and forth, to come to the conclusion that if anyone is likely to have come and name-dropped Sarah, it's going to be the individual that you saw wearing the hoodie. So you scan back over towards the footage and you watch it again slower. And in the moment when she turns her head, you realise then that she's not turning her head to look up towards the stairs, but she's turning her head because someone's just said something to her, and you can tell that because she turns her head and then she says something, and then turns back and backpedals towards the door, almost like she knows there's a camera there, and steps out. Meanwhile, Moses, with arms gripped tightly around you, you know, uncomfortably tight, you begin racing off towards the location where you know Deacon Rhodes is going to be. The same little bar where you saw him previously. And as you pull up, there is a colder atmosphere here now. It's not, I mean, this area is, there are a few individuals inside the pub. It's not late enough now where it's been closed. And the doors are open, there's still light coming in, but it's strange that the moment you walk in, all of the eyes seem to turn and glance at you and then glance over towards a corner. And it's in this corner where you see Deacon Rhodes sat. He's not in a suit anymore, he's more in a just kind of casual dress. But the way that people are kind of glancing at him suggests that it's his immediate kind of response that they're looking at. And you can tell that most of the individuals here, they're either all doing Blush of Life exceptionally well, or most of these people are kind. But the way that he just kind of places a finger against his temple and just rubs it slowly, and then immediately people just nod and then just ignore you and go back to what they're doing. I'm assuming you still got your helmet on.
Yeah. It was beautiful while it lasted.
But you can always get it again.
Sorry?
You can always get it again.
But,
you know how.
I just stay there and you know, take the situation in a little bit more. Like how many people do I think?
Probably about 24 people are in here.
Okay. Inside the bar.
Yeah.
So it's
including
sort of
a familiar
loud.
Barmaid who kind of looks at you for a moment longer than you than most of the other people in this room, and then she kind of lowers her eyes and goes back to cleaning glasses.
Yeah, Mask of a Thousand Faces. Hunger one.
Okay. As you are kind of moving through and you are allowing the discipline to fuel, the moment your helmet comes off, everyone just looks at you in a way that makes it clear that it's worked. They're seeing someone else. And as you glance back over your shoulder, you see that Alice is there. And aside from the slightest trickle of blood underneath her jaw that she's missed, she otherwise looks fine. In the space of the journey, she has been slowly mending herself, but okay. She does look, even with blush of health, paler, and her eyes do flicker back and forth to other people as she goes past, and then she rolls her shoulders, hands in the pockets of her coat, and she just marches past you towards the corner. And Deacon watches her approach, waits until she's close enough.
Yeah, stay a little bit behind. Yeah, a little.
And the moment that she's close enough, he just gives her a nod, and she just slowly returns the nod, pulls out a chair and then sits down on it and then kicks out a chair opposite her for you.
Just walk there and you just sit there.
And you notice that as not Deacon, Deacon's just observing you very, very calmly.
Yeah, I just wave about head and it's like
Alice is glancing around towards the other corners almost as though she's tracking people, and you know as you follow her glances.
Mayor around?
Yeah. Different members of the Bruja are
okay, cool.
Littered here and there.
Anybody else? Difford as well?
Yeah, they are all there. All the individuals that you've seen in this company are there.
Cool.
And all of these are the individuals that are still watching you. Although they're doing a kind of respectable job of not paying too much attention to you guys. It's just like there. Every now and again they'll glance.
I just wave at Deacon when I see him. It's like, hi.
Well, this is a pleasure. Didn't expect to see you back in my corner.
I am assuming he knows I'm Moses because I am with Alice.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. So
I mean, to be honest, you know.
Yeah.
You don't know whether or not she's phoned ahead, and it's pretty obvious that if she's going to be dragging someone here that he doesn't recognize as an anarch, it's probably going to be you.
Yeah.
Your relationship is not that secret.
No, not at all. I have some information that you will find most interesting. I'm not trading it, I'm giving it to you. But it's the kind of information that it's dangerous to just drop in a place like this.
With us.
Okay. I just start, like, setting the table.
He watches you go, and then, as the door shuts, you can see a long pool table that's there with the two cues just laid out. There's balls already set up.
Okay.
It is segregated. It's on its own. There's no one else in here. And the door is separating it. It's quite thick. And there are drapes over the windows that have been pulled. If it wasn't for the illumination offered by the lights, it'd be very dark in there. But it's nicely furnished, almost more dated than the room that you just stepped out of. And you're in there for a few moments before the door finally opens. Deacon steps through. He glances back out and holds the door, and then Alice marches through and then just leans against the pool table, her arms crossed. She's more pissed now than you've seen her in a moment, but she seems to be holding it together enough, even though her eyes do flicker back towards the door as it shuts and the people that are waiting outside. And then Deacon just closes the door, puts his hands in his pockets. Right. What's this news?
But it's kind of, you're not supposed to be knowing this. I'm not supposed to be telling you this, or anyone else for the matter. So I want you to understand and appreciate the risk I'm putting myself just by coming here. So if I can, I know it should go without saying, but if I can ask you to be very discreet with this information.
You will
know why I want to be discreet.
If I share your concern about it being discreet, then yeah, sure.
4 days ago, I was in between London and Reading, and I encountered three Nosferatu. Does the term Cainite mean anything to you?
Yeah, why?
Because that's what we found. Most likely Sabbat. They killed my fox.
Okay.
They staked me. My coterie was nearby, so they left before my...
Did you ash them? Were.
Sorry?
Did you ash them?
No, I couldn't. I...
Not you, but you know.
No. They staked me and left me there.
And you're sure they're Sabbat when they left you?
Well, whole? For Nosferatus, it's clan before sect.
You're speaking for them, are you? Do you know that for definite?
No, I'm speaking for myself.
What? But do you know that that's why they left you?
No. I don't know why they left me. They killed my fox, and I lost it. So I went for them to attack them, making our position, our location known to my coterie. They had seen my coterie, and they were not that far. So probably... And it was just not my coterie. We were with another couple of kind. It's a kindred. So it's like they didn't want to make it like a 3v4 kind of match or whatever. I am assuming all of this. They had a very hard line of questioning, but they were not given much in the way of information. But no Nosferatu uses that term. Not outside the Sabbat.
There are plenty of kindred that have used that term before. It's not just a Sabbat.
Okay.
Not so, common now, but... Do they say anything else that makes you think they're Sabbat? I mean, they staked you, but... Let's face it,
they were not from the area. They were asking a lot of questions about us. And I assume they were lost or a scouting party, even if they were anarch or just on their own. So that's one of the reasons, partially, that I'm here, is to warn you. It might be Sabbat, it might be nothing. So, but I wouldn't want you to just go telling everybody what I said and making a lot of fuss over something that potentially is not. And the other reason is there has to be like a few informants that you have or people that are looking for information. If I give you enough to start, would you get your people to dig into it?
Why not ask the sheriff?
I already did.
Constable, or whatever the fuck they call it.
I already talked to the constable last night. And I...
I know, sorry. That was my mistake.
But disapproving.
It's so good up until now.
Like, I did talk to the constable yesterday, and I will follow up with her tonight or tomorrow, but as soon as I can. So
you do realise that if I was to send someone out to look at this, and
if something happens to them, and it's not so bad, it's on me.
Well, what that, it is? Yeah.
But what if it is?
What if the constable finds out? Because we've also been snooping, they're going to find out that you told. And that's also on you. You prepare for that risk?
And I look at Alice. Just stare at her.
She's watching you. She hasn't said anything.
Listen. She already got angry at me for this. What happened to Tyler sucked. Beyond that, it was pure shit. But I had no control over the situation. And I feel like I owe it to him. Maybe not directly taking Thin Bloods into my wing, but I mean, he believed in something. He clearly believed in what he was doing. And he died before I could even had a decent conversation with him.
So you gotta look at it from my point of view. All I've seen is that someone that was a decent kindred goes to you guys for help. And turns up Ash because the constable shows up.
But why?
I'm finished. Shows up and gets ashed. You know, I wasn't there. I don't know who's responsible. All I know is that a good guy is dead.
Cool. Why did he go to us? He knew there was a blood hunt on his head. We had just been introduced. Why did he go directly to us? Himself. Why not send someone else? Why not tell you or Alice? It's known that she's my friend. Why not get to us in a different way? Why
who do you think himself? Recommended I drop your names?
Sorry?
Who do you think recommended I drop your names to him?
Yeah, but why would he... I know, but why would he go himself? Also... How does he know Alicia?
Who fucks Alicia?
Excellent. Well, it happens to be our gangrel's sire.
I don't know.
Well, he dropped the name, the guy lost it, and Armin Cavian? He's a ticking time bomb when it comes to stress. The guy can't handle it. So, okay. From your point of view, he went in, constable went in, he never came out. I can show you the footage of what happened. Of how I tried to negotiate with him while he was talking to the gangrel, and the gangrel lost his shit. But neither of us called Jacqueline. We were trying to get to the bottom of it. I was trying to stop Jim, for Christ's sake.
As he's listening to this, there's the creak of wood as Alice pushes away from the pool table. She unfurls her arms
says, if he's wrong and some shit goes down, I'll take it. I mean, you already beat the shit into me already, so what's another round? Right? Deacon studies her for a while. I need a charisma plus persuasion check plus one. Roll.
Two successes.
Okay.
Oh, I am assuming I'm not impaired because I recovered willpower, right?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Right. Where are these tunnels?
Okay, this is where it gets spooky. You're not supposed to know that there are tunnels.
Yeah, I know.
Between Reading and London.
You'd be surprised what I know.
Well, this tunnels is a network system. Is basically some areas of the underground of Reading, not like subway or whatever. I'm talking sewers and mains for like other utilities. They connect to some tunnel networks that are around. Basically labyrinths. Eventually you can get to London. In the same way you could get, if you follow the sewers from one place to another.
Can you give us instructions so that we can find it? That's all I need to fucking know.
Not exactly. I had a guide, someone from the area. She's unavailable.
Well, how do you want us to go and have a look if we can't get down there?
Because they are not going to be in those tunnels.
So, if you're saying these tunnels are like labyrinths, you want us to go down and what, scan all of them?
No, I want you to start looking around the area for any sort of kindred activity in Reading. I don't even know if Reading has its own prince. I don't know if Emrys' grasp gets all the way there.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, so is Reading, like, unaligned? Does it belong to somebody? Is it a domain that I have to go and present myself?
So you want me to send someone out to Reading to have a look?
Yes. Because I can tell you where the tunnels lead to. But the kindred that lived in those tunnels are no longer there. And I think these Nosferatu that I found, the ones who called me canine and had other jargon, weird stuff, I think they also realized that there was no one living there anymore. So one of two things. Either they moved in which case I wouldn't even recommend you go in there with a guide, because they would be at an advantage, or they were just making sure that no one was under their feet, especially Nosferatu. They were quite interested in the other Nosferatus with me.
This guide you mentioned. Who is it?
Which guy?
The guide. The one that showed you how to get there.
It's a Nosferatu from that area.
Okay. Named?
I think you might have seen her in the ball that Michael Chase gave.
Saw a lot of Nosferatu though. Doesn't really narrow it.
Well,
no offense, it's kind of difficult to tell most of you guys apart.
Okay. Well, she was introduced to us by other fellow Nosferatus, but I think I've said too much. Also, I know for a fact she's unavailable. She's not been ashed.
Can you tell me where the entrance is to these tunnels in Reading?
Yeah, that the way we came out, I can tell you that.
glances over to Alice. For her sake, you better make him pretty damn good. Because she's the one that's going. You wanted someone that's good at picking up trails and all the rest of that shit. She's one of the best ones we got.
I know. Can I go with?
No, you can't. The entire point of you telling me not to tell anyone is because you want to put distance between you and this bit of news you just shared.
Yeah, but if I'm there with her, no one would... Unless you're not sending her alone. Yeah, I'll shut up now. I'll give her what I know.
Right.
Sorry, you have taken your time. And I just turn around and walk past her, and I go like, are you coming? Or are you staying?
He looks at her. She gives him a look. It's hard to tell what they're translating in that look, but then she just nods to him and then marches towards you and then out the door.
Okay. So when we're out, tell her, I assume you're gonna go as soon as I give you all the info, right?
Well, I'm not gonna go tonight.
Wanna come to my haven and in my domain, and I can share with you some of the drawings I have and some of the maps of the way out.
Yeah, I need to hunt first, but I'll head over to yours after.
Okay, cool. You have a place to hunt?
Yeah. Trust me, I'm fine.
Okay. Need help?
No.
A lookout or something?
No, I'm good.
Someone to boogie? Okay, I'll see you at mine. Bye bye.
And I, she hands you back the helmet.
Yeah. I put on mine, strap hers to the back, and then I just nod at her, get in the motorcycle, and drive off.
She doesn't leave. She watches you go off and around the corner, but she stays where she is until she's out of sight.
Okay. Yeah. Go back to the cross hands.
Okay. Meanwhile.
Oh, not straight route. Like,
yeah. You too.
I've headed out to go meet Sabine.
Okay. And
I'll
you?
Be going to deliver this.
Okay. All right.
Everyone.
So, Edmund, Sabine, and where have you gone?
Jim's still currently
in my room.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, what were you looking for before I jumped into the scenes with you two? Through this footage. Anything else?
Just see if he's probably going to try and do as much as he can with the cameras he has access to, try and follow this person, see if he can get a glimpse of the face.
Okay, so you can try and track them over there.
Attempt to, but also going to open the phone, go to Moses, problem bigger than we thought. Send it.
Don't drink and text, and don't know that. Yeah, that's a good advice as well, but don't drive and text. Yeah. So I'm not checking my phone.
No. But you send off this message and you begin scanning through the various footages, and you can see slowly the individual moving from camera to camera, but you never get a full glimpse of this individual. Roll intelligence plus investigation for me.
One success.
Okay. The individual, you manage to catch a single glimpse of the side of the face as she stops on a corner, and she turns and she seems to be talking to someone that's beside them. But then as she kind of turns to look down the street to see if any traffic is coming, you do glimpse a very, very, very familiar young face. Similar in some ways to your own, but with blonde hair. Not blonde since you've seen it last, but it's now blonde. It is definitely Sarah.
And any indications of what person she's with?
The person that she's with is taller than her, and it takes you a few moments of trying to observe to try and gauge who it is, but in the moment that you glimpse your sister's face, she kind of turns and starts walking across the street, and the other person continues to walk with them, and you don't catch a glimpse of who it is. It's the movements of the other individuals suggest that they know where the cameras are, because they are not once during their trek out of your domain, and it is making a beeline out of your domain. They seem to be purposefully avoiding the cameras, or whilst not avoiding the cameras fully, but they are always positioned in such a way that their back is to the cameras and there is no glimpse of faces, aside from the momentary slip where Sarah, out of reflex, turned and looked to see whether or not a car was moving. What do you want to do?
Jim's been probably going very carefully through that footage, so once he's done, I'm going to leave kind of the monitor open, and wait for Moses. He's pretty sure Moses is going to come here very soon.
Okay. Are you heading to the chantry, or are you going to head towards the theatre?
It suggested that she said to meet at the theatre.
Okay. So you begin making your way there, and it is... There are still people there. There's people moving back and forth. There's no shows actively going at the moment. They're more setting up for shows. There are some people there that are looking through different show brochures. There's some people there that are buying tickets. But as you're kind of stepping in and you glance around, you see Sabine, who's stood over by the area that leads up into one of the box seats. And she smiles at you and then just gestures towards the curtains, and she steps through them and holds it open for you to step through as well.
I follow after her.
Okay. As you step past, she leans over to one of the staff members that works there, whispers something to him, and he nods and then pulls the curtain and then puts one of the velvet ropes across just to seal it off. And then he just turns and just stands almost as though he's just inspecting the room. And she starts marching up after you towards the box seat. And it's in this area now, this large arcing room, that you can see that no one else is there. It's been set up for a show. You can tell from a glimpse, the narrowest of passage slips in the curtains, that there is a set made up for whatever show is currently showing. But Sabine is more interested in checking the lower interior, just making sure that no one is in there. And this is pretty early for Kindred to gather, so it's very unlikely there will be one there. It seems kind of pointless to go to an Elysium when there is not really going to be anyone else to meet, but you never know. And she is very slow with her appraisal, and then finally she takes a seat, crosses her legs and gestures for you to do the same.
Do that.
Okay. How are you, darling?
I'm all right, thank you, yes. Yourself, you all right?
Oh, I'm ambivalent, I suppose. I've got some good news, and I suppose you could look at it as some bad news. You, and I apologize if this is something that you would rather not be tasked with, but I considered that given the situation and the circumstances, you were probably the best person for me to approach. Do you recall me mentioning about a property that I wanted to try and purchase?
Yes, I do remember that.
Well, that is no longer the biggest concern that I currently have.
Right.
Instead, I have something a little closer to home, darling. It's regarding your former ghoul.
Right.
She does another very slow check about the room. This one a little bit more thorough. And then... If I tell you something, darling, it has to be in the strictest confidence.
Of course.
I have suspicions, unfounded at the moment, but they are quite strong suspicions, that your ghoul, your former ghoul, is unaffected by the blood bond.
Is that so?
Now, as you can imagine, this news is immediately troubling to me with regards to ensuring her loyalty to the clan.
Of course.
But it's also something of a ironic delight.
Silver linings and all that.
Because it also means her loyalty will not be towards your esteemed sire.
Yeah.
However, to make it even more delicious, I don't even think Oliver knows. At least not the way that he's pandering towards her. He doesn't seem to notice the small signs that I have.
Is she keeping up the pretense?
One can only assume, darling.
So she is aware? presumably, that it's not the way.
It seems like she's adopting a demeanor of one who is the quiet, subservient one. It seems...
Survival technique.
I mean, she is accustomed to Oliver's tantrums.
Yes.
I mean, her... I suppose, eternal scarring on the back is now testament to his lapses in conscience. However, if this does hold weight, then it leaves us with an interesting opportunity and also a potential problem that we need to appraise. Yes. If she is immune to his blood bond, then she is immune to the loyalty to the clan. Or at least the safeguards that ensure said loyalty. However, if someone were to have a closer bond to her, say yourself, and her loyalty is not yet ensured by Oliver,
Right. Then
we have a means with which to ensure that Oliver does not ascend to a seat which can damage the clan irreparably.
I understand, I also assume that were the rest of the clan to get wind of this fact, that she would most likely be destroyed.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yes, yes.
The Regent has already had her fill of potentially damaging mistakes. The idea that Will's embrace was used as a means of putting distance between you as a matter of punishment, to know that that's failed, quite spectacularly, I might add, it's not going to sit well with the Regent, which is why you are the only individual that I have told my concerns to. And again, they are suspicions. I have not had a conversation with her, and neither will I. However, if she does not have his best interest in heart, then maybe she recognizes what he's done, realizes what he's taken, and will be more likely to side with the people that have her best interests at heart. I'm not going to lie, that's more you than me.
Of course.
But my interest in that particular property has already fallen through. This is one of the more tempting means of ensuring that Oliver does not brown nose his way onto the Primogen.
I understand.
Of course, darling, I understand the connection that you and your ghoul had, and I would not think less of you if you decided to distance yourself from this. However, regardless of what you decide, I do expect the strictest confidence.
Of course, of course. As I say, it was... you are right, it was my previous intention to keep that distance. But if what you say is true, then it could prove a valuable asset to you and to...
Well, to both of us, darling. I know she meant something to you. I'm assuming that was not artificial or pretense on your part. You're not that good of an actress.
No, you're right. You're right. But you do understand that I always, now and always, I always put the clan before any feelings of that nature.
As does any respectable Tremere. However, in this case, both goals align. If she is more likely to work with us and she still holds Oliver's trust and esteem, then he has just given us one great big doorway to walk through to dislodge him from his ascent.
You're right.
Because I have no idea how much longer we have before
Indeed. The
decision is made as to who sits on the Primogen. I'm not willing to risk waiting.
One does wonder what the current priorities in terms of business are regarding everything. It reminds me, we took the news to the constable, and that has been dealt with. And there was something I wanted to share with you, but and I'm sure this is, of course, mutual at this time. But again, I must ask. I'm not sure how many people are aware, but I would much rather it remained close.
My lips are sealed, darling.
Is the clan... And I have another glance around.
Which just... plus awareness?
That's two successes.
Okay. You glance around. You can hear noises off in the distance, but as your eyes drawn towards it, it's clear it's coming from the opposite of the door.
Is the clan aware that... And this, I understand if this sounds even stranger than the last set of news I brought you. Is the clan aware that the Constable Jacqueline appears to possess what I understand from what I've read to be a certain... well, let's say her dedication to the church seems to be so strong that she is able to... Well, she branded a member of my coterie with his own rosary. And it seemed like quite a powerful display of faith of some kind.
Sure, it was faith?
I don't know any other kindred to possess the ability to do what I saw. I was quite
as
close.
As far as the Chantry is concerned, she does not have access to any sort of blood magic that would allow her to do similar.
I mean, the mark was there, plain as day, on his hand, around his wrist. It was as if he had been branded right there, and I saw the pain on his face. And she uttered a prayer as she did it.
This is genuinely surprising. I didn't take her to be sincere in her displays of faith. I mean, not many people hold to faith as honestly as they did in their living days, and even that was tenuous at best.
It was only what I saw. I thought it would be worth sharing with you, and of course I wouldn't share it with anyone else. It shocked me, quite honestly, in the moment.
I appreciate your candor, darling. It's certainly interesting.
Yes.
I mean, without seeing the afflicted area myself, I couldn't suggest anything. However, I think that might be a bit too...
On the nose.
Yes. It is certainly an interesting bit of news. You said the constable.
I did it again.
Yes. Well, we went to find her. She was at a church. She was praying there for hours.
Hours?
Yes.
Well, the woman doesn't lack for conviction. I appreciate it. The information, I will not share it with anyone else. It's useful to know, however. No, I appreciate that, darling.
Of course. And regarding what we also discussed, I will inform you of any updates. I still possess quite a few of her old possessions, including her vehicle, so that would perhaps be a good place to...
I leave it entirely at your discretion how you broach the subject. Assuming, of course, you even want to, I just ask that you keep me appraised.
Of course, of course.
If it is too much for you, darling, I can make the overture myself. However, I won't lie, it won't have the same effect.
I can at least get a toe in the door, so to speak.
Certainly. Just don't overdo it with yourself.
No.
I'm not quite certain how fresh the wound still is. I'm not going to pretend to know how far your affections spread, my darling. I think I'm a bit past that point myself. For better or worse, I won't pretend to sympathize. However, it was sincere from what I saw, and here's hoping that that's enough. But I will leave that entirely in your court.
Of course. And, yes, if there's anything else, just let me know. I'm well. Until the next revelation. I am otherwise unpreoccupied. Ugh. Yes.
Well, I'm on the other side of a phone call if you need me, darling.
Of course, of course.
Well, I won't hold you up any further. And she climbs to her feet, brushes herself down, offers you a nod, and then holds open the curtain for you.
Thank you. And I will exit.
And she follows you through. And the individual that she left out to whisper into is remained exactly where he left. She left him. And the moment that he sees the curtain ruffling, he looks over and then pulls the velvet rope across. You step out. She offers you another smile and a nod and steps through the crowd of people. And now and again, people kind of glance over and see her, and she offers them a smile, a friendly kind of very, very quick back and forth, just purely by gaze, and then steps out.
How far is the theatre from the Chantry?
From the Chantry? Yeah, it's... How are you intending on going there? By tube?
By public transport, yes. I was just wondering, is it like the side of a triangle to go there and then home, or is it kind of the wildly opposite direction?
I'd probably say it's roughly equidistant. You could probably go one way or the other. I mean, obviously it's going to be a bit longer if you did go home, just purely because you'd have to double round. But you wouldn't be wasting a lot of time if you went back to the Haven first.
Katya's going to take out her phone and text, and she's going to text Peter. Peter? Who's Peter?
Hey, everyone's doing it tonight. I don't feel so bad. I
think hey, it's he's been a few sheriff. Weeks. Oh, no.
The sheriff, yeah. The sheriff's called Peter.
Yeah.
She's gonna text Benjamin. Meeting is running over a bit. I'll be a little while. And she's actually going to head in the direction of the Chantry because something's kind of been on her mind and she wants... Because as far as she's concerned, like, she has free run of the Chantry. It's not like she's blocked out anymore.
Yeah, I mean, as an acolyte, you've got free reign, largely. Well, within reason.
Within reason.
Yeah. You're not going to get stopped. So you start making your way towards the Chantry. Yeah. Meanwhile, after leaving the Haven, after your brief discussion with Katya,
yeah,
are you going to make straight towards the gallery?
Yeah.
Okay. You start making your way down these familiar routes, and at this point it is pretty much routine. Everything you're doing is just... unless...
So one thing is that I will be keeping an eye out as I'm driving along these streets in case I see a car with a particular registration that I believe is a red car. because if I do, that might alter what I'm doing. But otherwise, I'm just driving to the gallery. But I should say that Benjamin is sort of always looking for that car now. Wherever he goes. So he's not doing anything radical in terms of his route. He's taking his normal route. But if he happens to go and it's like parks outside a house or whatever, then obviously
he's
I'd like to know.
He's only prepping a Molotov just in case.
Who could say?
Wits plus awareness.
Oh, okay.
I'm assuming you don't have heightened senses up. Because
no, not when I'm driving. No.
That'd be interesting.
Four successes.
Four successes.
That's what I'm good at.
There are plenty of red cars around you, and every single time you see one, woof,
yeah.
Your eyes follow.
Yeah.
But none of them match. I mean, there are the occasion where you get a red car and there is a female driver, and immediately your eyes kind of scan the face. But then you quickly realise that it's not the same woman.
Sure.
And you're not sure whether that makes you feel better or worse. But you continue making your way towards the gallery, and by the time you've gone there, you've noticed at least seven red cars, and each one has taken your undivided attention.
Yeah.
And then, climbing out of your car, you do a quick glance around just to double-check any red cars going past and begin making your way up towards...
Yeah, now her car was parked outside last time.
Yep.
Is it this time? The other thing to say is that when I approach the gallery, I'm going to approach it kind of... I'm not going to go directly up to it. I'm going to go around to the side of the building and look, now using heightened senses, at a distance to see if there is anyone by the side door.
Okay.
Because he's worried... This will become clear probably more about why later, but he's worried particularly about someone at the side door.
Okay. I'll get a roll from you for that. However, we will do that after the break.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to part one of this episode of Blood on the Thames. We really hope that you enjoyed the show, and if you ever want to watch us playing live, find us at Twitch at 7 PM UK time every Monday. Follow us on Twitter or Facebook for latest updates. See you next week.